Have you ever looked back on a decision and found that the right choice wasn't the easy choice? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah illustrates this principle in the life of Ruth, who made the more difficult choice and set into motion God's ongoing blessing. Continuing the series Ruth, Romance and Redemption, here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message, Decisions Determine Destiny.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We are in the midst of a very exciting, romantic story from the Old Testament. We've called this series Ruth, Romance, and Redemption. And we're kind of at the core of the very important time in the life of Ruth and Naomi as they make a decision that will forever change everything in their lives and even have an impact on the future long ahead of them. This lesson is so critical that the decisions we make have long-term perspective. Okay, let's open our Bibles once again to Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to finish up our discussion on how decisions can determine our destiny.
Now, the scripture says she was also impacted by something else. Her decision involved her religion. It says she went back to her people and back to her gods. And that truly is amazing to me, if she had any glimpse at all of Jehovah, the Yahweh of the Old Testament. Because she went back to darkness and paganism and superstition and gloom. She went back to idolatry and nothing more. Of commendation, no word of condemnation is spoken. Like Judas of the New Testament, she just went to her place. And the very silence of Scripture about this sister is sufficiently adequate and eloquent to tell us that she lived a life of tragedy. This was the crisis moment in her life. She could have gone to Bethlehem, the house of bread, or back to her old life. Back to the gods of Chemosh, where they sacrificed human beings to the gods. Orpah wept, she kissed her mother-in-law and Ruth, and then she went back. Ruth wept and kissed the other two, and she went forward. Orpah disappeared forever, and Ruth became the ancestress of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Appears Orpah. Because of a momentary decision that determined her destiny. That's all I have to say about her, and that's almost more than the scripture says. But I want to tell you about Ruth. Now, if the Bible says that Orpah decided to leave, the actual text of the book of Ruth says that Ruth decided to cleave. That's literally what it says. She clung unto her mother-in-law. And this is what it says about her as we look at Ruth chapter 1. And in verse 16 we read, "But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people will be my people and your God my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. In fact, I have to tell you this. Her statement here in these verses is one of the most magnificent confessions you will find any place in the Word of God. The words of this passage have been immortalized in music, enshrined in poetry and prose, read at wedding ceremonies. Robert Lee, one of the great old Southern preachers, said, "There is nothing in human literature more beautiful than Ruth's address to her mother-in-law." It's not only literally a gem, but it is the decision of a noble character at a dramatic moment expressed in language that is filled with emotion that we feel every time we read it. Although unknown and unappreciated at the time, what Ruth did in that moment was a hinge in history. Someone has said it was every bit as important as Caesar's crossing of the Rubicon and Columbus' decision to keep on sailing westward one more day. What she did in that moment changed the course of history as you look back on it from New Testament perspective. It was a decision she made in a moment that determined destiny. Now, what I'd like to do is just to talk for a few moments about the details of her decision, because there are six statements here in this poem that we have in our Bibles, and every statement is with meaning. And we'll cover them very quickly. First of all, the details of Ruth's decision involved a friendship. Notice what it says. She said, "Wherever you go, Naomi, I will go." You can't read these words in the heart of this young woman and the humility that she had toward her own situation. And when I read this, I have to tell you the nobility of Ruth is quite a surprise to me, because I can't figure out where she got it. She grew up in Moab. There wasn't anything noble in Moab. And you remember, she came from the union of drunken Lot and his daughters in a cave outside of the smoking ruins of Sodom. Moab was the child of Lot's oldest daughter. And you have to wonder, incestuous relationship, could anything good or noble cut out of such a background? And apart from God, there's no human way. The Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that when Naomi left to go to Bethlehem, Ruth clung to her. I love that word, because in the Old Testament language, it's a really special word. It has great meaning to it. It's a word that means committed, faithful, personal relationship, kind of being together. It's used of the man and his wife in Genesis chapter 2. Do you remember that passage? Genesis chapter 2, 24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother," and in the Old King James it says, "and cleave to his wife." He shall be glued to his wife, literally it says. And it's also used in Deuteronomy to describe the relationship we're to have to God. "You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall cling." And it says, "hold fast" in the New King James Version, "and take oaths in his name." So the Bible says when Ruth left, she just hung on to Naomi. She joined herself to her. It's hard to surmise how that relationship had been cemented, but you have to believe that in spite of the fact that the will of God in Moab, there was still enough of the vestiges of her faith left in the way she lived and how she dealt with her husband's death and the death of her sons. Ruth must have seen something in her that transcended all of the testimony of the things she had known on to this godly woman. And she knew that a better future waited for her back in Moab. Her decision involved a friendship. But notice, secondly, her decision involved a family. She says, "Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. I'm going to live with you, Naomi." She intended to live with her mother-in-law in whatever place Naomi went. She would share the same privations under the same roof, and she locked her life intimately into the life of Naomi. She was going to be a part of her family. Her decision involved her future. She said, "Your people shall be my people." She was leaving her people for good. And she was choosing Naomi's people forever. And Ruth was willing to break down this barrier that had grown up between the people of Israel and the people of Moab. And that was a tremendous decision for a member of the nation of Moab to do that. For Ruth to say, "Your people are going to be my people. I'm going to be a part of your nation now. I'm going to be a proselyte Jew." You know what's amazing about that? Is that this happened and she did become a part of those people. And yet the Bible says it couldn't happen. Did you know that? The Bible says it was against the law. Deuteronomy 23:3 says, "An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even till the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Thus saith the law." But where the law is, grace is. And grace transcended the law in Ruth's behalf, and she did what the law said could never happen. She became a part of God's people. She became a part of Messiah's ancestry. She became a part of the people of Naomi. Her decision also involved a faith. Notice what she said, "Your God should be my God." She said, "I'm going to leave behind all the gods of Moab, and I'm going to embrace the God Jehovah of Naomi." It is, as you remember, the truest picture of repentance in the story. In the language of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, she turned from idols to serve the true and living God. That's what it means to repent. And that's what Ruth is doing. She is turning her back upon the idols of Moab to embrace the true God, Jehovah. And she embraced that God in faith, as we are told. Number five, her decision involved a funeral.
It's true.
She said, wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die. I'm going to die where you die, Naomi. My commitment is not just for life. My commitment goes through life even unto death. In other words, Ruth was making no provisions to go back. She left no options open. Her decision was without condition. It was forever, finally, all the way to the cemetery. I'm going to be buried where you are as a part of my commitment to you. In fact, she says here in an Old Testament oath, did you see that? The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. That's an Old Testament oath. She raised her hand and she says, I swear, I'm going to go to the grave with you. We will die together. I'll tell you what, this is stronger than any marriage ceremony I've ever participated in. And then finally, number six, she said her decision involved a final resting place, and I will be buried where you are buried. You say, well, what's different about that? It's very important. It was the habit of people in those times to want their bones to be left in the place of their birth and heritage. They had family plots just like we do today. But Ruth is saying something here far more than you might believe when you first read it. She's saying, I'm with you for life, I'm with you in death, and even in burial, I want to be identified with you and your God and your people. I'm reminded that that was what was in the heart of Joseph when he was in Egypt as a Jew. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, Joseph, we are told, gave instructions concerning his bones. He didn't want his bones left in Egypt. Egypt was a pagan country. Joseph was a son of God. And he asked after he died that his bones be carried up from Egypt and taken to the land of Canaan. And if you read the book of Exodus carefully, you will find a passage in Exodus that says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and he had them placed with the children of Israel under the solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Why did Joseph do that? Because it was a sign of where his heart was and where his life was. It just seems to me that throughout the scripture, there is great care taken with the remains of loved ones. Did you ever read about how Abraham buried his wife Sarah? Got to read that story sometime. Here they're even concerned about where their bones are going to be. There's something to be said for treating the old house with some dignity. Are you with me? And I kind of get the impression that that's what the Word of God is all about. So she had quite a commitment, a friendship, a family, a future, a faith, a funeral, and a final resting place. All that in what Ruth said. And I'd like to just add this one little dimension to it, that her decision was hard. You say, well, Ruth just, I mean, that was just easy. Ruth loved Naomi, so she just wanted to be with Naomi. Oh, no. Her decision was a tough one. It was difficult for many reasons. I want to talk to you about the difficulty. First of all, it was difficult because of her past. She was cradled and raised in a heathen home, schooled in the worship of an immoral God. And it was from Moab she was moving. And she had worshipped Chemosh, who accepted human sacrifices and encouraged immorality. It was her background. How in the world is she going to have the moral fiber and integrity to make such an important decision out of her background? Well, I'll tell you one thing it tells us is you can't use your background for an excuse for making the wrong decision. If there is such a person who had a right to make an excuse for doing the wrong thing, Ruth would qualify. Her past was surely against her. Her present was against her. I mean, even her own mother-in-law told her not to do it. She went with Naomi, but against Naomi's resistance. Remember, in our last lesson, Naomi got both the girls together and she said, don't come with me, whatever you do. Don't come to Bethlehem with me. Go back to Moab. I mean, I'm not going to give you any more sons so you can get married. I'm not going to get any husband over in Bethlehem. They won't marry you. You're a Moabitess. Go back where you've got some hope. Go back, go back. So Ruth's trying to do the right thing and her mother-in-law's telling her to do the wrong thing. We're back to this relative bit again. Her circumstances were against her everywhere you look. You know, when we read in the next story that we have in the book of Ruth, we're going to read that Naomi was bitter. Do you remember that? She was bitter because of all that happened to her. Well, I want to tell you something. Ruth had every right to be bitter too. She lost her husband. Her father-in-law was dead. She was a widow. She had no material support. And she probably could have reasoned, man, if this is the way Jehovah God treats his people, I'm not going to go where he's stronger. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense. A lot of things could have gone through her mind at this moment. What I'm trying to aren't usually easy. They're often difficult. And sometimes we use our background, sometimes we use our circumstances, and we say, well, I can't do the right thing. Look at all the baggage I bring to this crisis. Even her future was against her. Because Ruth could have easily thought that if she walked away from everything she knew and decided in favor of God and of Canaan, she had no way of knowing, except for that shred of faith in her soul, that God would be with her. But she decided. Somebody said, well, how did Ruth get the courage to do that? I think Ruth became what we would call an Old Testament Christian. I think she became a child of God. I want to talk with you for a moment about the depth of her decision. Because Orpha gave up, and Ruth was ready to stand up. And the only way I can understand that is that Ruth had come to know Almighty God. Ruth chapter 2 verse 12 has some insight in the words of Boaz, a little bit ahead of our story, but notice, the Lord God repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Ruth, I believe, was a child of God. Somewhere along the way in her relationship with Naomi, they'd had a quiet conversation, and Naomi had told her about how it used to be in Bethlehem and how different it was to worship Jehovah as opposed to the gods of Moab. And perhaps Ruth had seen enough of the reality of Jehovah God in the life of Naomi during the death of her husband and the death of her sons, that she could see that there was something in her that she wanted. And she was drawn to Jehovah. And she followed her heart and she made her decision. Now the interesting thing is, both of these girls had the same opportunity. And both of them, within the same span of time, made a decision. Ruth was blessed to become an ancestress of Messiah. And Orpha is never heard of again in history. You say, Pastor Jeremiah, how in the world could God take someone like that, who has to get into the family of God against the law of God, and use them in such a way? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but sometime when you get a chance, you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew and you read the fourth chapter, because in the fourth chapter of Matthew, you will find the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Most of the names in that genealogy are names of men, but there are five women on the list. I want to tell you about the five women. You can look it up for yourself in Matthew 4, but here it is. Five women on the list in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Woman number one, Tamar. Tamar committed incest with her father-in-law, Genesis chapter 38. Number two, Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile harlot, Joshua chapter 2, verse 5. Number three, Ruth. Ruth was an outcast Gentile, Moabitess. And number four, the wife of Uriah, who was an adulteress, 2 Samuel 11, 6. And the last one was also there by grace, and that was Mary. But four out of the five were people you would not consider to be on the society page of life. But they were people that God reached down and grabbed hold of by His grace. Aren't you glad God can do that? He can make us what we could never become by ourselves. He can take us out of whatever situation. When we will decide, God will lift us up. I am told that there is a hill in a Midwestern state, and on the top of that hill, there is a courthouse, and it is so situated that when it rains, raindrops falling on one side of the courthouse roof drain off the roof, and they go down to the Great Lakes into the Atlantic. And drops landing on the other side of the roof go down and are drained into the Ohio and the Mississippi and go down to the Gulf. And just a breath of a wind, just a little bit of a wisp of a wind, one way or the other, can determine where a single raindrop will end up, either in the Gulf or in the Atlantic. And I have to believe that so it is with our decisions. One little decision we make can determine our destiny, either for heaven or for hell. one little moment in time where we have the opportunity to decide, and we do. And we look back on that someday in heaven as we think back over our lives, and we will remember, you know, I was in that service on that day, and that particular preacher was preaching, or this man came to my home and talked to me, and I was presented with a choice and a decision. And I remember that day, I didn't know what to do, but I decided for God, and that's why I'm here, for eternity. And likewise, there will be some who are in a Christless eternity who will look back and say, I remember, I had the chance. I had the opportunity. The moment was presented, and I even understood it. But I guess I decided not to decide, and I thought that was not a decision. Well, when you decide not to decide, that's a decision, isn't it? And for eternity and forever and ever, that decision has made all the difference. Some of you are right there today, at this moment. What you decide in these next few moments is going to determine where you spend eternity. You don't have any way to know that you'll get to come back and think this through again. So if God is calling you, and if He's speaking to your heart, you better decide for Him and head off toward Bethlehem, and don't go back to Moab. Because Bethlehem's the house of bread. It's the place where if you eat, you never get hungry again. And if you drink, you're never thirsty again. It's the place where you'll find the Lord God.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll continue this narrative when we get together tomorrow. And thank you so much for being with us today. And we'll be right back here tomorrow with more from the Book of Ruth on Turning Point. Thank you for listening.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Ruth, Romance and Redemption on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Speaking hope to the world, you're listening to TWR.